Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning, everyone, and let me add my welcome to you for joining in, watching, maybe even participating in these online services by singing along or participating in the chat. It's hard to believe, but I think that this is our 11th Sunday for these online services. I'm certain for you, as it is for me, it's beginning to feel very long. And we certainly miss deeply our times of gathering together in person and worshiping together as a congregation. I really do miss seeing you in person. And while I'm thankful that we can gather together in this way, and I'm so thankful for all the people that diligently make this happen week by week, it certainly is far from the same, and I miss it. There is something very special about gathering together in person and lifting up our voices together in song. And I would be denying reality if I didn't acknowledge that I really miss it, and probably you do too. The old saying, absent makes the heart grow fonder, is certainly true for me. I hope it's for you. I hope the other saying, out of sight, out of mind, isn't true for you. I want you to know that your leaders are regularly praying for you, and we're discussing regularly as this ongoing reality of the pandemic continues to unfold, what the options might be as restrictions begin to ease and the potential stages going forward. But unfortunately, at the present time, it's not possible. And of course, it would be unwise to rush any kind of public gathering. And so we will need to continue to invite God's grace to help us and strengthen us for the road ahead that is not an easy road. Which actually leads me right into the text for today. If you have been with us recently, you will know that we have been looking at cherished, well-known, oft-quoted passages of Scripture. If you are not familiar with any of these, I hope that this series has helped you hide them in your heart. And for all of us, I hope it is that we have been refreshed and guided by them. Today, we are going to be focusing on two verses that at least part of it is quoted frequently, and is also the inspiration for one of the most well-known hymns of our faith, Great is Thy Faithfulness, that was penned by Thomas Chisholm in 1923. But the verses are found in the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, chapter 3, and verses 22 and 23. Here's what they say. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. These verses state wonderful truths to encourage us, but I think we will find them even richer if we reflect for a few moments in the context in which we find them. As I said, they are found in the book of Lamentations. You probably haven't heard many sermons from the book of Lamentations, except maybe for these two verses that I just quoted. The book of Lamentations is not a very pleasant book to read, particularly if you're just looking for a word of inspiration. It is, in fact, simply a series of laments, poems of sorrow. In fact, the Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint entitled this book, Wailings. Wailings. These are cries from the heart. The book of Lamentations is composed of five lament poems, one for each chapter. And although we don't see this in the English translation, each poem, each chapter is 22 stanzas long. And the first four laments are an acrostic beginning with each letter from the Hebrew alphabet, and the Hebrew alphabet is 22 letters. So these laments that we find in the book of Lamentations are highly structured poems, primarily lamenting about the situation that the author finds not only himself in, but his fellow Israelites. And what is that situation? Well, I'm glad you asked. Historically, it was the destruction of Jerusalem and the exile of its people to Babylon that took place in 587 BC. Now, without getting into too much biblical history, when God had brought his people into the promised land, he told them that if they were faithful to his commands, they would be a blessing and would be a blessing to the world. But if they disobeyed his commands, worshiped other gods, then there would be judgment. Now, for a time, there was great blessing under King David and King Solomon. But ultimately, the story of Israel as a whole is that they disobeyed God's commands and worshiped other gods. And so finally, judgment came upon Israel and even Jerusalem, the capital and worship center that had that glorious temple built under Solomon's reign. In the book of Lamentations, we find ourselves at the lowest point of Jewish history. Jerusalem was destroyed, and the people were exiled to Babylon. These were desperate, desperate times. And these laments are cries to God that are a mixture of repentance and an acknowledging sinfulness and the rightness of God's judgment, and yet at the same time are cries of agony and cries for help in the midst of it, cries for it to come to an end. Let me read just a couple stanzas that immediately precede the familiar inspiring verses I read earlier. I'm going to begin at verse 16 of chapter 3. He has broken my teeth with gravel. You ever had sand in your mouth? He has trampled me in the dust. I have been deprived of peace. I have forgotten what prosperity is. So I say my splendor is gone and all that I had hoped from the Lord. I remember my affliction, my wandering, the bitterness, the gall. I remember them and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What I want us to grasp, and I think is important to understand, is that these beautiful, inspiring words come in the context of great sorrow and struggle and lament. They go together. Right now, there are people in our congregation, people in our communities, maybe friends who are grieving, sorrowing, going through very difficult times. The reasons behind that may, of course, differ greatly. Pain and sorrow has many sources. In the Book of Lamentations, what looms large is God's judgment. And yet, if you look further, there are also other sources. Betrayal, disappointment, human physical suffering, loss, painful circumstances that go on day after day. Pain comes in a variety of packages. It reminds me of that great line from one of my favorite movies, The Princess Bride, where Wesley says to Buttercup, "Life is pain, Highness. Anyone who says differently is selling you something." What a great movie. And while the thought of that movie makes me smile, living in this world will be to experience pain. Now, of course, that's not the whole story. Life is much more than pain. But we are not honest or dealing with reality if we do not acknowledge and reflect on that part of the story, that reality. And know this, so often the greatest news, the greatest joy, the greatest revelation of hope, and even the greatest of learnings and transformations come in the context of desperately hard and difficult situations. But before I get to that, I want us to see that Scripture does give us permission to lament, even models it for us, as we have here. You see, God could have said, "You deserve what you got, so stop your whining, stop your wailing, stop your belly aching and crying, suck it up." But God doesn't. The words of lament are given for us in the Scriptures. You see, sometimes in Christian circles, I have sometimes received the subtle and maybe sometimes not so subtle notion that Christians should be cheerful all the time. Even though we may be in a time of great heartache, when we're with other Christians, we should wipe off that frown and put on a smile and say life is great. Oddly enough, some Christians can't seem to accept that sincere followers of Jesus can go through bouts of depression or be torn apart inside from the mess of their own lives or the mess of those lives of people we love. Now, to be fair, it's also true that some Christians seem to always have a complaint, a misery, a problem, a gripe. Some people only see the problem, never the solution, always the risk, never the opportunity, never the silver lining. Clearly, this too is unhealthy. Scripture invites us, I believe, to hold these two together. There will be times of lament, but we lament with hope. And so our author, traditionally understood to be the prophet Jeremiah, pens these beautiful words, beauty out of ashes. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope because of the Lord's great love. We are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah points out two main focuses that we can set our hearts and minds upon when we are in the midst of difficult and painful times. These two give us hope and keep us going forward. First, the reality of God's love. Contrary to what might be our first instinct, that if God really loved me, I wouldn't be going through these terrible times. Jeremiah knows that terrible times do not erase, eliminate, or diminish God's great love. And it is the knowledge of this that keeps him going. This is the profound and yet sometimes difficult to grasp overarching message of the scriptures. God is love. And the reason that our world and you and I continue to even exist is because of God's great love. Given the sinfulness and rebelliousness and evil of our world, we should be amazed, awestruck by the mercy of God that continues to sustain and keep, as well as forgives us and actually grants blessing after blessing and grace upon grace. And I hope that you can see that and know that in your life too. You see, it is only because we do not take our sinfulness seriously enough that we foolishly believe that we actually deserve better. Every good thing in our lives is an act of God's grace. It is out of the Lord's great love. It is because of that that we are not consumed. Not one of us is getting what we deserve. And when we come to understand the cross and what Jesus did by dying on the cross for our sins, then the enormity of God's love for us should overwhelm us. How can we ever say God doesn't love us? The cross proves it. It's the final word. God loves the world because Jesus died for it. And because we know this, we can know that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, God continues to love. We may lament, we may grieve, but we can also anchor ourselves in the knowledge of God's love. But our author proclaims one other great truth tied to the first one to anchor ourselves in the storms of life. And that is God's faithfulness. The words are, his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The hymn writer Thomas Chisholm put it this way, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. if we have eyes to see and hearts inclined to believe, every day holds out fresh evidence of the faithfulness of God. The psalmist said, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Every day, as the sun rises, we are to be reminded of God's faithfulness. He is in control. Even when the days are difficult, confusing, and uncertain, even when they are filled with pain and sorrow, even when we find ourselves giving voice to lament, God can be counted on. And in each day, there are mercies and graces that speak to us of God's love and faithfulness. And this gives us hope. There will most likely be, and maybe you are right now, in that season of loss, a season of lament, when sorrows like sea billows roll. But even then, even in the face of great pain and loss, God does not abandon us, and his love for us does not cease. This will require faith. Faith in the abiding goodness of God when our circumstances are difficult. Trusting him to see us through. Trusting him that there is reason to hope. Trusting him that he is working together all things for our good, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you anchored to the love and faithfulness of the living God that is revealed most perfectly in Jesus Christ? Turn to him. Trust in him. Cry out to him. Receive from him, even now. Let me lead us in prayer. Father God, thank you that even in the midst of difficulties, heartache, loss, sorrow, that you remain a God of perfect love, whose compassions never fail, and that your faithfulness continues. Father, thank you that you give us permission and even encouragement to lament, that we can cry out, that we can express our pain, that we can weep and groan through the experiences that we have in this life and the trials that come. Yet, Father, grant us faith to lament with hope, to know that because of your love and faithfulness, we can press on, we can look to the future, we can know that you are in control and good things lay ahead. Increase our faith, Father, to trust in you, to trust in you today. Fill us, we pray, with fresh faith. to the glory and honor of your name, we pray. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.